Happy Easter. We're still definitely in that season. If you can find 1 Corinthians 12, if it's still open there, we're going to spend some time in that section of Scripture. I'm going to pray for God's help. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who speaks to us. Pray that by your Spirit you would open our ears, move in our hearts and our minds, that we may hear and understand and believe and be encouraged by what you have for us. Amen. This is obviously chapter 12 of a letter, which I'm taking it on trust. You got up to chapter 11 about a year ago. So we're carrying on from what you did quite a while ago, certainly before I was here. You may remember, or you may not, that the letter to Corinthians, Corinth was a church with lots of exciting wrangling, different passions, different priorities. And Paul sometimes writes to kind of what he's heard about them. He sometimes writes about to answer letters and questions that they have, trying to calm down and bring resolution and bring wisdom in all sorts of different ways. And toward at the end of chapter 11, just before chapter 12, he's been talking about what it means to worship together. In fact, often we use part of chapter 11 in our communion service to describe that. Chapter 12 starts a new section. Peridei is the Greek. It's a bit that I learned at college, but it's that now about bit, and it sort of means that he's answering a question that they had. So it's a whole new section in chapters 12, 13, and 14, which we'll be looking at over the next kind of four or five weeks. It's this section on spiritual things, things they've asked them about. And he's going to be trying to answer them. Let's see if this works. Excellent. So true or false? They had some sort of questions going on. I wonder just to get our brains going, or maybe a similar theme. The more important the spiritual gift, the more mature and spiritual the person. Or true or false? A major evidence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life is his or her ability to speak in tongues. True or false, we must ask God for the spiritual gift that we want. True or false, some Christians have little to contribute to others because they've less gifts. Or true or false, some people are more important than others in the church, as in every other situation. I'm going to leave those as rhetorical. We won't do it by hands. It's just to get us, hopefully, into a sort of contemporary version of the mindset. I guess we'll all have come from different sort of churches. If we've not grown up in this one, there'll be different priorities. We might have heard different teachings. And some of these will chime with us, things that either we've thought or things that we've heard or seen examples of. What do we think about spiritual gifts? I'm going to leave, over the next couple of weeks, a whole swathe of things unsaid from the front. But do come back to me with questions, and I will pass you on to the people who have the right answers. But the Corinthians were certainly competitive about spirituality, about things of the Spirit, or about gifts of the Spirit. We're not exactly sure what was going on, but Paul talks about tongues 21 times here and nowhere else. And he talks about prophecy 20 times here and about 14 times in other places in all his letters. So we can think that probably something about tongues and something about prophecy were high on the agenda about what their question was to Paul. And we'll deal with that probably next week and later on much more. In fact, the direct answer is probably at the beginning of chapter 14. But he wants to lay some groundwork. He needs to lay some perspective. And that's what we're in chapter 12. So I'm going to take this verse as our key verse for today. To each one, the manifestation of Spirit is given for the common good. And I hope to show that this passage, it may at first glance, if we have all sorts of exciting questions, seem slightly more mundane or even boring. And then it appears actually much more exciting than it first appears. Hopefully that's the journey we're going to go on. We can have a look at this verse. We're going to take each bit. We're going to think about to each one, the first thing. To each one, this verse, something is given. To each one, kind of brackets the second half, verse 7. Now to each one, Verse 11, all these are the work of the same Spirit, and he gives to them, to each one. And it's against just one. So the Spirit's not given to just one, just two. To each one, something is given through the Spirit. And we start here. Well, who is it? Who are these people that they're given to? Let's start back at the top of the chapter. Now, about spiritual, it's spiritual things. It's not gifts in this verse. I do not want you to be ignorant. And if you remember way back when you're looking at Corinthians, they did not want to get called ignorant. They wanted to get called wise. They wanted to get called knowledgeable. So Paul is playing into this. I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Hear the rebuke, the put down. Imagine their question. Hey, Paul, who's more groovy in the spirit than each other? He's saying, well, I don't want you to be ignorant. But remember when you were pagans and led astray, when you were badly wrong, you followed dead idols. Now you follow the living God. You followed mute idols. Now you come to a speaking God. And this word pagans is sort of the ethnic word, the Gentiles. Remember, you were not of God's people. And now you've been brought in with God's people in the Spirit. So this is what he's setting. And the language here is, you remember when you were led astray, when you were carried along? Imagine sort of pagan festivals, a sort of some kind of procession through the town. Remember when you were carried away like this? And we're going to be brought to the self-control of the Spirit. And here we have this argument right at the end. I tell you, no one who is speaking thus by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Spirit. You have been ignorant. And now, if you say Jesus Lord, you are spiritual. So there they all are saying, Jesus Lord, different ways. But if you can declare that Jesus is your captain, your Lord, then that is by the Spirit. That's the one certain test. It's got a positive and a negative. Lordship of Jesus. Everyone has the Holy Spirit if they're a Christian. Living on the lordship of Jesus is all from the Spirit. Later on, in next week's passage, in verse 13, it says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. One Spirit brings us all together. It's the foundational work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, you might say the best spiritual gift is to be able to see Jesus is Lord. We live as a Christian with Jesus our Lord and Saviour. He's saying, don't be led astray. Whatever else we get into, don't be led astray. So what does it say to the spiritually competitive? I found this little story. Two ministers, they're arguing about their respective faiths and styles. They're in a very heated discussion. That's all right, said one to the other. We'll just agree to disagree. After all, we're both doing the Lord's work. You in your way and I in his. Who has the Spirit of God? Each one who seeks to follow Jesus as Lord. Now, this is one step which could seem more mundane than we would want it to. I don't know if you've seen The Incredibles, a fantastic animated film, but Dash is this small boy, and he's got this special power, and his parents are saying, you know, everyone is special, as we all do. And he says, well, if everyone's special, no one's special. So you might think, huh, if we've all got the Spirit, that means we were kind of all this lowest common denominator. Let's think about what the Spirit is, who the Spirit is. He's the very presence of God's. The very presence of God's. To each one is given the very presence of God's. And then we come on to that. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. And you'll see those following verses. They're all about unity, but not uniformity. There are different kinds, but one. There are different kinds, but one. There are different kinds, but one. Different kinds of gifts, the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord to follow and serve. Different kinds of working. From that word working, we get energy. It's energon, power. But the same God who gives the energy to all in all. A variety of gifts and services and actions, but the same God as the giver, as the king, and as the worker. If you're with me on our men's weekend, that's Trinity in action. The Spirit uniting with Lord Jesus, uniting with the Father for the sake of his church. And what is this manifestation? Well, we get a taste in these next few verses 7 to 11. It reminds us that God's church is a supernatural church. It's a charismatic church. And our question immediately is, well, what are these gifts? Let's have a look at them. And our answer, unfortunately, is that we cannot be entirely sure. You've probably heard this before, but there are several different lists of charismatic gifts. There's one in Romans, there's one in Corinthians, and they come up in various places. They're different, which means that none of these lists are given to be kind of the whole end of exhaustive list. Earlier on in this same letter, in chapter 7, we have the gift, charismata, the same gift of singleness or marriage. So Paul is using these in a variety of ways. They are something that God gives to us for the sake of the church. They represent a diversity of working of the Spirit. It's kind of futile to speculate for too long about precise meaning of each gifts, but we get them. We see them are being used. And chapter 12, verse 1, that's spiritual things. Often up to here we've heard about spiritual things, spiritual ones, spiritual things, spiritual ones. But here, verse 4, spiritual gift, charismata, a gift. Verse 11, it's a gift. The emphasis here is that God gives. You've not worked it. You've not kind of earned it. This is something that God has given for his church. And Holy Spirit decides who has what, which gift for you to open. There is a sense here that Paul has split them up. In the Greek, it's a little bit more obvious. But to one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, and to another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. So there's a little gap there in what he's saying. And these seem to be to do with knowledge of God's, wisdom in God's. Often to do with salvation and then kind of guidance in the Christian life. The next one, to another, faith by the same Spirit, another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. I don't think this can be saving faith, but later on in this chapter it talks about faith to move mountains, a faith that kind of describes our readiness to really step out for God, our sort of courage. And then towards the end it comes to tongues and prophecy. Remember, these are the ones that the Corinthians are probably asking about. So Paul has probably deliberately put them at the end. He's saying, kind of, know God's, know the things of God's, get right with God, be guided by God's. And then we'll come to these other things. Don't take too much pride or particular concern with these things. So I guess, and you can come back to kind of specific things, and we'll come back to them, I think, a little bit more next week. But do we have a wide range of the sense of God's workings? How do we expect God to work, to speak, to act? Do we have this kind of wide range, different ways in different people for different occasions? Have we got a sense of being a charismatic community? The Spirit gives and is present to all of us. Do we have that expectation? Do we have that reliance? It's something I've been thinking about a lot recently for myself, if not for all of us. I saw a sort of quote, if God called his Holy Spirit out of the world, about 95% of what we're doing would go on and we'd continue to be pleased with it. Is that true for us? Or what are you doing that you can't get done unless the power of God falls on you to help you to do it? That's a real challenge for me. Because my brain works at a certain rate, I'm pretty well organized, I can get quite a lot of these ministry things done. Am I coming back and falling on my knees before my God to say, I need your gifts, I need your strength, I need your power, I need your guidance, I need you in this? What are our expectations? I think we've put a couple of these in practice as a church recently. What was our expectations to helping our children grow in their knowledge and love of God? You may have kind of different sort of rhythms at home with the children. Last couple of terms, if you have children and explorers, they're coming to you today. We've produced little sheets that tell you what they're doing. A little question maybe to help. Expectation, are you encouraging them with what they're learning at Sunday school and bring it into the rest of their lives? Our expectation that God will be working, not just on a Sunday for them, but helping them see that throughout the rest of their lives. We've got a prayer meeting before our service. It's lovely, actually. We had the most people there today, so that's a nice one to talk off the back. We meet at 3:30. If you feel like you'll forget, let me know and I'll text you beforehand. Come and pray. What is our expectation for what happens in this meeting? Christians meeting together in the presence of God. What's our expectations? Is it worth praying about, asking God to speak, to work, to heal those who are broken, to convict those who are proud, to encourage those who are scared? We can do this. We need to do this together as a church. That's why this prayer meeting, it speaks to my expectations. Do I expect God to do something that maybe I hadn't got planned for him? Frankly, often I don't, because I've got a great plan and I spent time on it. Do we? Do you? What's our expectations? One Spirit gives and one Spirit does. All these, verse 11, are the work of the one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. Is that boring or exciting? There's one source, Trinity. But what a source. The presence of God. Trace it through the Bible. Mountain, Moses, when the presence of God arrived, people had to back off or they would die. When he arrived in the temple, the priests who were all in their robes and doing their business, they had to clear off out because the glory was too majestic and glorious for them. Jesus says in that gospel reading that we had, it is better for you that I go that the Spirit comes. What? That is the Son of God walking around on earth with them. That must have been quite good. Quite good. He says it's better that the Spirit comes. I love that and find that verse bonkers. Surely it was better to be around with Jesus. Is that our expectation of the Spirit? That's actually why, for your interest, we're going to have two readings the next few services. One that I'll preach on and one that's not preached. Because we long for God's word to just speak by his Spirit to each one of us by the reading of his word. That's our expectation, isn't it? Pentecost, which we'll celebrate in a few weeks, particularly God's Spirit arriving, fire, wind, power, people speaking so that people of different languages could understand the gospel of Jesus. 3,000 coming to believe and be baptized. You, me, it's the same gods. That's good, isn't it? To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, and he's given for the common good. How are the gifts used? Well, gifts can be used in different ways. We see it through the Bible, people misusing what God has given them. We see it in churches today. Another story, I'm not sure how helpful this is, but I quite like it. Three men facing the guillotine. One has the gift of faith, one has the gift of prophecy, one has the gift of helpfulness. Don't worry about the theology of this. The person with the gift of faith, he's lying there in front of underneath the guillotine, which is the choppy thing. He says, no, I have the gift of faith. This will not work. Man pulls the rope. The blade doesn't drop. The man goes on his way. He thinks, this is amazing. I have the gift of faith. Next one, the gift of prophecy. He's lying there, looking up. The blade is there. He goes, I have the gift of prophecy, and I prophesy this blade will not work. Pulls the cord. It doesn't come down. This is amazing. He goes on his way. Oh, astonishing. And then the last man, the gift of helpfulness. He's lying there under the blade. He says, oh, no, I can see why this isn't working. There's something jamming. Maybe forget that as soon as I've said it. But you can use gifts for goods or wrongly. How are we to use these gifts? We are to use these gifts for the common goods. Little puzzle. We all are part of God's church, and we all need to play our part. Otherwise, there'll be a piece missing. Are we exercising our gifts? That leads us to think, what ways might we be competitive Christians? Do you have more jigsaw than the next person? Maybe you've got one of those important corner pieces without which other people cannot work? No. I think God says something very similar to each of us. If you don't think you're equipped to serve, if you're not as good as them, what do it? Remember, it's not about you. It's about God and his will for the common good. If you're feeling confident, if there are certain ways of serving that you think they'd be more proud of and you think you are taking part in that way, remember, it's not about you. It's about God and his will for the common good. Do you hear that? It's the same story over and again. This is God's church, And he is working for the common good by his gifts and his power and his guidance. That's why we all need to take our part, but we all need to remember who it is that's doing the working. So hopefully we can start to see this is such a brilliant baseline to inform further argument, which we'll come to in the next few weeks, about different gifts and different roles and how to value the body. There's a common source before we get any further. We confess the same Lord, those first few verses. We depend on the same God, those next few verses. And we minister amongst each other, gifted and empowered by the same Spirit, those last few verses. No wonder the gifts aren't for our individual enjoyment. They're for corporate employment. Don't know if you like things that rhyme. They're not for individual enjoyment, but corporate employment. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common goods. Not for me, but for us. God has chosen you. He's chosen me. He's given you a particular gifting, a particular role in the church. You get to use these things for him. If you don't use it, you miss out. And others miss out. The gifts are not for individual enjoyment, but for corporate employment. God's will for the good of his church. And I pray that we can see that that is an exciting picture of what these things are about. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Amen.